because tonight is a little abbreviated, I'd like to just share a couple of things and then look at a passage of scripture that will kind of set a course, I hope, for what we're doing up here in Watch Rock anyway. We have outline books. If I could get a couple of young guys, there are some there, and there are some there. So this is, if you're not going to be here, if you're a counselor and you're going to be down there, you're welcome to take one, but it won't do you any good because there's not a lot of stuff in here. It's just some titles and pages to jot notes. So nothing profound or really informational, but you're welcome to look through it. And if you really want one, I think I have enough to get through the 2 weeks. If not, feel free to just leave them here. As I say every year here and at church as well, I don't want this to be a distraction. If this is not something you do and write notes, I'm not going to try to change your world right now. I would encourage you to, because typically we hear things and God speaks to our hearts, and if we don't make record of it, often we can forget. And so you don't have to fill out every page. I know some people here, they don't have enough pages because they like to take a lot of notes. But whatever works for you, that's fine. I won't take offense, only if I see doodles and other things that you're doing instead of being engaged, like we said. So here's what we're going to do for our time here, primarily. So if you see both sides, they're upside down. So we're going to take two tracks. One is the names of God. And we're not going to do all the names of God because we're not going to be here long enough. But I just picked some, and that may change along the way. So we may have to cross out a title and put in a different one. So we're going to... I'll give you a little bit groundwork, but for those of you here, I'm going to repeat it more in depth when we actually get into it. We may wait a couple of days before I go with a lot of the background and groundwork, so the other people who are still coming up in the beginning of next week won't miss all of that. But the names of God, there's a psalm on the cover, that as I was reading through some psalms earlier this year, I came across something that just jumped out at me in a little bit of a different way, and that's Psalm 9, verse 10. And it says, "Those who know your name put their trust in you." And it just happened to be that morning that spoke to me kind of this way. If you don't know God's name, we have a hard time trusting him. He has revealed himself in Scripture most often through name. And it defines him, it identifies him. And so I've just felt challenged personally to know God's name better so that I can trust him more. Because the more we know of the person of God and the character of God and the identity of God, the more we can trust him. And that's typically what we'll see in Scripture, is encounters that he had with people that needed to know him in a particular way in a moment so that they could trust him more in that moment. And so God says, "Here, I'm your peace. Here, I'm your shepherd. Here, I'm your healer." And it was in moments where they really needed to know God in that way that there was a progressive revelation of himself that we have in Scripture. And so I'm hoping that when we're done these couple of weeks, that we will know him better through his name, and we will trust him more. Okay, so that's where I'm coming from, the names of God. Then the flip side is Summer at the Lake. And so there's a picture here on the cover, and it's not Brant Lake. There's no flora there, here, and I think the mountains are bigger here. So how many of you have been to Israel? Raise your hands high for just a minute. Okay, not a lot. I didn't get there till just a few months ago, so a lot of people don't get to do that, but God made a way, and very unexpectedly, we were off to Israel. And so we were there with some of the pastors from our church, and in the course of spending 10 days there together, we were already trying to figure out what are we going to do this summer by way of preaching. And we kind of do a rotation and take preaching. And so we were trying to get a theme and an idea, and we were tossing around some things. And we happened to be in Galilee. We stayed for several nights right on the Sea of Galilee, which is really just a big lake. I'll give you all of those details later. And so we kind of thought, why don't we do Summer at the Lake for our summer series at church? And then I thought, it's even more appropriate here because we don't have any lakes around us in Jersey where we are, not to speak of. But I thought, that works for camp, right? Summer at the Lake. But our focus for this part of our study, this period, is going to be looking at the ministry and the teachings of Jesus primarily right around the lake, Sea of Galilee, and in the region of Galilee. And so we're just going to kind of go through and just pick some, not all, and just see what that ministry looked like. So that's going to be that, and we're probably going to kick that off tomorrow morning. Some of the pictures that you'll see in the middle, I think, I may have a few others somewhere, but anyway, mostly in the middle page, almost all of these, I think there are two that are not, but all of these were taken from, so I threw a picture of myself in there, so I have proof that I was there. There's a picture of my son sitting in the synagogue in Nazareth, where Jesus said, today the scripture is fulfilled, from Isaiah 61. We're going to talk about that. And so anyway, that's just some stuff there that we'll kind of check out. For tonight, one more thing. We have a Facebook page for First Period 2023. You can just search for it and just click on there. I don't know if you have to be let in. Somebody will let you in. And so you can do that. We have a QR code, but my printer didn't work. And so up here, I thought I could print it out for you tonight. But anyway, we'll have that if it's easier for you. But you can check us out if you're on Facebook. And we're going to put some maybe some additional things that we can't cover in our meetings. If you have questions, you can put there. If you have something inspirational you want to share, if you got some pictures, some kind of fun stuff that's going on First Period here. It's got to be camp pictures. Like, we don't want to see your pictures from Florida when you're on vacation. Camp pictures from this period. And so we just want to kind of connect, and that way we can give you a little bit more follow-up from some of the studies that we're doing, and also maybe give you a couple things to consider for tomorrow or a couple days to come, maybe give you a passage of scripture and tell you to check this out and be ready to talk about it when we study it. So that's on there as well. So okay. So for tonight, I like to leave you with just a thought and encouragement from Luke chapter 18. Do you ever have a difficult time asking for things? I think it's kind of a common thing. A lot of people don't like to ask, don't like to be a bother, don't like to appear or be known as needy or helpless. And so a lot of times we don't ask for things. We just try to suck it up and work it out ourselves. It applies often to our relationship with God. For whatever the reasons are, a lot of times We don't ask the way God wants us to ask. We may ask some things. I think sometimes people would think, well, this thing's too small to bother God with, and so we'll just, you know, I won't die if God's not involved in this moment, and so we'll just live with it or deal with it, and it'll pass eventually, and we approach it that way. Some on the other side of the scale would say, well, this thing is too big, and they may not say that out loud because they might not really believe it if they heard themselves say it. But sometimes I think we hesitate to ask God, or maybe our faith isn't big enough, and it's just so big that we don't even take it to God in prayer because it's just so out there. This would be like a really big miracle, and I'm not so sure I should ask. Or if I ask, I don't want to be disappointed. Sometimes we don't ask because of that. And rather not ask than have somebody say no, or I don't get what I need. So sometimes we approach God that way. There are a lot of different reasons that we don't ask, and I think that's why God encourages us in His Word often to ask. If we were good at asking, He wouldn't have to keep telling us, ask, 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 ask. And so we know of some scripture. They're well known. One is in Luke 11. We don't have time to turn there, but Jesus is teaching His disciples. They ask Him, teach us to pray, and He gives them a model prayer in Luke 11. And then He gives a parable about prayer, and that's where He talks about a man who has a visitor, a guest come, and it's late at night, and he has got nothing to give and to feed their guest. And so he goes to the neighbor's house, and he's looking for food, and he's knocking, and the neighbor is ignoring him and telling him, finally, just go away. My family's asleep. And it is, Brother Paul has been to Israel, and so we talked even before I went, and it does change your whole perspective of when you read scripture and understanding. For those of you who've been there, I know you've experienced the same. But we can envision, most of us have to do that because we don't have the opportunity to be there. So we can envision, you know, it's a one room and everybody's just asleep. And if you wake up one and they all start waking up, it's just a big mess, especially if you've got little kids and it took you 2 hours to get them to go to sleep. And so, but the persistence, because of persistence, that man responded. And then Jesus says, and so, after He tells the parable, be persistent. He says, ask. And it's a present continuous tense in the original language. So it's ask and keep on asking and you will receive. Seek and keep on seeking and you will find. Knock and keep on knocking and the door will be open to you. Everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. Everyone who knocks, the door is open. And then He goes on to say that if your fathers, earthly fathers who are evil and far from the character and nature and person of God, if they give you good gifts, how much more will your Heavenly Father give good gifts, or the Holy Spirit, Luke says, to those who ask? And so Jesus is trying to tell His disciples and teach them, this is how you pray. And this is how He wants us to pray. Ask and keep on asking. That's another reason, maybe, why we don't ask or we have stopped asking. Some of us here tonight, you asked for a long time for something, and God didn't give that thing you were asking. Now, sometimes, like James says, you're asking wrongly. But sometimes it's a different timing that we might have. But again, back to what Jesus is saying is, don't stop asking. There may come a moment, like in Paul's life, where God says, okay, stop asking. My grace is sufficient for you. And though I may not remove you from this or the circumstance from you, I'm going to give you grace to walk through that, maybe for a lifetime. But I encourage you, until you get that word from God that says, my grace is sufficient, this is the answer, he says, ask. And some of you may need to be encouraged tonight, that thing that you've given up on, that you don't even pray about anymore, because it's really big, and it's been so long, and maybe it's even painful and difficult to pray it anymore. You're just trying to deal with it and survive through it. Maybe your faith has just been stretched and you just don't have the faith to ask anymore. I want to believe God that he would give us faith again. And maybe some of us need to pick that thing up that you gave up on a long time ago. Maybe it's a healing. Maybe it's a lost loved one that just seems to run further and faster from God. And maybe God's want to encourage us to say, keep asking. Keep asking. Because of the persistence, the man got up and met the need. James says, you have not because you ask not. Right? James 4. We wonder why we don't enjoy the blessings that we see others have. Maybe because we've not spent the time in prayer and seeking God and in faith. And so we've not even asked. Or maybe we believe there are some things that are just too big or too impossible. We're going to talk about that at some point in the next 2 weeks. That God does a lot of things, and God's involved in a lot of things, but God doesn't do these things anymore. James says, you've not seen that miracle because you've not asked for that miracle. And then he goes on to say, when you do ask, you ask wrongly. Basically, you're just asking to heap things on, you know, your own self, rather than for the glory of God ultimately. So the point is, ask. It brings us to Luke chapter 18. Jesus is on the way to Jerusalem from Galilee, and he's going through Jericho. So there is a map somewhere in here. I think it's the first page on the lakeside. So the first map that you'll see, which has the wider angle, you'll see Galilee up north in red, and you'll see Judea down south in the orange, and in kind of the middle of that is Jerusalem. And Samaria is in the middle. That's kind of the place that they would avoid. And so they would walk around Samaria and then come back from the east, go through Jericho to Jerusalem. So that was just the common path that they would take. So Jesus now is on the way to Jerusalem. The beginning, just the couple verses before, tell us that Jesus is telling his disciples he's going there to die. And this is kind of the last trip he's taking to Jerusalem. And so we get to verse 18. I'm sorry. My wife took the car with my glasses in them. So somebody tell me, Jesus heals a blind beggar. 32, is that it?
35.
As he drew near to Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. Mark tells us this man's name is Bartimaeus. Hearing a crowd going by, he inquired what this means. And they told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by, and he cried out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And those who were in front rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he came near, he asked him, what do you want me to do for you? And he said, Lord, let me recover my sight. And Jesus said to him, recover your sight, your faith has made you well. And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. So I don't have a title for here, but if you're on the lake side, if you get just past the middle pages, you're going to see some blank pages. And if you want to take any notes tonight, that's where you want to fill this in. And so the title is, "What Do You Want Me to Do for You?" And so just real quickly, in a few minutes we have left, blind Bartimaeus is crying for help. He's desperate. He positioned himself strategically. They would do that on any given day. They would be where most of the traffic would be, so that people would offer help. And so he survived, as anybody in his condition in that day, and many around the world today, there's no support from government. There are no systems in place. There's no department you can call that'll give you help. You're on your own. And basically, you just begged for mercy from people. And that's what he did. It was probably increased crowd and traffic because the Jews were going to Jerusalem for the feasts. And so there would be extra commotion there. But there was even more so here, where Bartimaeus recognizes something different is happening. There's a stirring. I don't see it. I don't understand what's going on. But there's something happening that's even bigger than the crowds that are traveling to Jerusalem for the feasts. And they said, "It's Jesus of Nazareth." Now, apparently the fame of Jesus had gone on before. And so Bartimaeus knew right away, if anybody can give me, and the word that is used for mercy is connected to the word that we have in Scripture, alms. And so when they're begging for alms and people are giving alms, it's an act of mercy that they're begging for. And people are showing mercy by helping the person. And so he's crying out for mercy, and then the crowds around him probably have been accumulating as Jesus has been walking toward Jerusalem. His fame now has been spreading, and so there's a crowd that wants to hear what he has to say, see what he's going to do, and they're trying to shut up this person who's just disrupting, and they can't hear, and it's distracting from the moment. And so it's kind of a back and forth. And the picture here is Bartimaeus is yelling loudly for mercy. Then the crowds are yelling back at him, "Be quiet." And so he yells even louder, and they yell louder. And it's kind of this back and forth until Jesus finally stops. But we read in verse 37 that it says that there was this crowd, and he wanted to know what it was, and they said, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." Again, we just, in the English translations, don't always get the real translation of what's happening. So the words that are used for passing by in Latin is ob portu, O-B-P-O-R-T-U. Two words, passing by, and it's related to, it means into port. And so it had the connotation, the picture association with a ship that's trying to get into a harbor. Now, this is before modern harbors were built. This is before boats and ships had motors, engines on them that they could maneuver through difficult seas. If a ship was going to get into port, it was in a particular moment. The tides had to be right. The winds had to be right. And they would wait for the moment where they could get into port. And then they would make the run for it. That was called opportunity. And that's the words here when it's talking about Jesus is passing by. It talks about getting into port. It talks about an opportunity. There is a moment that's happening right here when Jesus is passing by in Jericho, and it's a moment that needed to be seized upon by Bartimaeus. we have an opportunity. We have a moment. Tonight, if you're here for a week, if you're here for 2 weeks, there's a moment that we have right now. I don't know what it took to get you here. I don't know how much you had to struggle and wrestle and compromise on your job or find somebody to cover for you, or maybe you're not getting paid for the week or two that you're here. Whatever you had to do to get here, or maybe you didn't even try to get here, but your parents got you here and you didn't want to be here. There could be a lot of things that have happened, but you're here. And this is an opportunity that you have. Jesus is passing by. Amen. We have a choice to make. Will we take advantage of an opportunity? Will we capitalize on a moment for 2 weeks? I don't know what that'll look like for you. For some of you, it's going to mean salvation. Maybe you're not walking with the Lord. Maybe you've never fully committed to Him and surrendered your life to Him. And this is an opportunity for you. It's an opportunity for repentance. For some, it's an opportunity to fully surrender to God, where you've kind of been riding the fence. And He's looking for full surrender. Maybe this week is that moment. Maybe it's a baptism in the Holy Spirit. We prayed that earlier. Maybe you've been seeking God for it. Maybe this is the moment. Or maybe you haven't been seeking God, but this is an opportunity for you. Maybe it's healing in your body, and Jesus is passing by. We can't miss this moment. Some of us come just because it's so nice to be here. It's not the city, or it's not wherever you're from, and it's not the mess in your house and all the things and tasks that are before you. And as soon as you get kind of pulled off the north way, it's everything just, okay, I'm forgetting all of that. I'm just here. We're going to relax, and we're just going to have a good time. We're going to see some friends we haven't seen, and you're going to miss an opportunity. Make this moment count. And there were those who were trying to prevent it. Be quiet. Get to the back of the crowd. Don't bother Jesus. And He cried all the louder, have mercy. And they cried all the louder, just leave Him alone. And tried to keep Him separate, distant. And there are going to be things that are going to get in your way. You're going to have to make an effort and be persistent. Some of it may be people. There are going to be people around you here that might get in your way. I don't know what that looks like, but if that's you, you know what I'm talking about already. So it's going to be some conflict maybe that you have with somebody, a roommate, where somebody said something you didn't like or didn't say something you wanted them to say or whatever it is. But there are things. Maybe it's something you're dragging from home. Maybe it's the social media that you're going to be wasting your time on that's going to distract you and keep you from a moment. And there are some things that we're going to have to decide not to do or to do so that we get to Jesus. There are circumstances in our lives today that some of us are wrestling with that are going to keep us from Jesus. And we're going to have to deal with those things and then pursue Him. There are struggles that we're carrying. I don't want to kind of rehash some things that some of you have already heard. But these past couple years for my family, and it seems like for me in particular, we've gone through some incredible struggles, and it culminated with a health deal that many of you know was last year. And during struggles like that, that some of you may be going through right now, they can so distract you and overwhelm you that it keeps you from Jesus. And we've got to fight through these struggles. We've got to fight through some of the battles that are raging internally. We have an opportunity now. Don't let these things overtake you. And so Jesus finally says, it says here, He stopped. And he called Bartimaeus to himself. And here's the question. What do you want me to do for you? And I believe that God is offering us that. What do you want him to do for you? This is a powerful moment. Jesus just finished telling his disciples. They're walking through Jericho. And he's talking to them, saying, right in those verses before, read it. We're going to Jerusalem, and he begins to spell out what's going to happen. And I'm going to be crucified. This is the reason I left heaven and came to earth. This is like the mission of all of history. There is no bigger moment than this moment that Jesus is walking to. But there's a blind beggar asking for mercy, and Jesus stops. It's the heart of God. I have 99 sheep, but there's one. And he stops. What do you want me to do for you? And I believe that God is paying close attention to us tonight and these couple of weeks. And there's a lot of things that are going on in the universe that God is attending to. But he still stops for us. And he asks, what do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do? And so here's what I'm going to ask you to do. You have that blank page. If you're not going to take this book, maybe you have another sheet of paper. I'll even let you put it on your phone if you have your phone. I think that may be against the rules, but if that's the only place you have to jot something down that you'll remember, we're gonna pause for 3 minutes. You may not be able to deal with it right now. Maybe you need to take a little bit of time, maybe tonight when you're alone and the lights are out. If Jesus, and I believe we can apply this to us, if he were here tonight passing by and we have an opportunity and he says, what do you want me to do for you this week, this period, this summer? What do you want me to do? Ask. Just ask. I've told you to ask. So I'll be quiet for 2 minutes. Maybe there's something already. You don't even need a minute to think about it. You know this is the thing. I need this bad. But maybe two things. Before tomorrow night, I'll give you 24 hours. Maybe you need to deal with God and he'll deal with you. Maybe he'll show you something you don't even know you need. But would you just write two things down? I'm not going to add, nobody's going to ask you what it is between you and God. Put it on your phone or wherever you want to do it. Just say, God, this is what I need. This is what I want. And then let's believe God. And so it says that that's exactly what he did. Because of Bartimaeus' faith, bold faith, to ask. And so let's just pause for a moment and take just a minute. Father, would you give us faith in this moment? Some here need to ask really big things of you. We don't even have the faith to write it down, to even think this or dream this or imagine this. He is exceedingly able to do more than we could ask or even imagine. Give us faith, O God. Now let's ask. Jesus is passing this way, today. Jesus is passing this way, he's passing this way, today. Jesus is passing this way. This way today, Jesus is passing this way, he's passing this way today. Jesus, Jesus. Lord, we ask, dear Jesus, 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 Jesus. So, Lord, even now we ask that you would bring victory. Lord, would you bring answers to prayer even this very hour? We don't need to wait till tomorrow or next week or when we're on the bus or driving home. God, even now we pray that you would begin to put in motion, that you would work, Lord, in ways that maybe is so out of the realm of the possible, Lord, that we would see the mighty hand of God in our lives, in our circumstances. Lord, that you would begin to turn things even now to our amazement, to the amazement of others, Lord, that know the situation, to those that have been watching, Lord, to those maybe who've also given up hope. But God, would you step in now and do wonders and do signs, Lord, that the name of Jesus would be glorified. For your name's sake, we pray, dear Jesus. So we ask, Lord, now give us faith to walk in, Lord, that we would believe you for things that are impossible, and we'll give you thanks and praise, for you are worthy. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you are not on staff, you are free to leave and encouraged to quickly, so the staff can get into their meeting and take care of the business that they need to take care of. God bless you.